We can't wait. We've had perfect preparation. We feel like we're perfectly positioned to cause a bit of an upset.
Mate, I'm comfortable with the situation. I just need a bit of time with my family at the moment. I think 3 months is a long time to be hanging out together.
You know, we're not naive to think that people aren't frustrated about us.
I've started to second guess whether footy is my sole future after I finish playing.
You don't want to keep having to miss the finals to make you make the finals the next year.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all to the Inner Sanctum today. And we head down to Casey Fields and tap into the genius that is Max Gawn, the captain of the D's, after their 50-point win over the Hawks on the weekend. Maxi, good morning.
Good morning, Half. Morning, Whitey, if you're there somewhere.
Yep, I'm here. I'm here.
Now, last time we had you down the line, Maxi, you were cutting laps. You were walking laps down there at Casey Fields. Where do we find you this morning?
This time in the 50-seat grandstand. it's actually a beautiful morning down at Casey Fields this morning.
Is it a ticketed event? Did you have to scan your code when you got in there?
No, I didn't. The fun thing about the grandstand at Casey Fields is it's quite old, but they've got new interchange benches. But the interchange benches are that high that the grandstand is now null and void. You can't see the ground.
Sounds like a nice place to watch the footy. Hey, your world is just getting better and better and better. And I don't want to embarrass you or think you have to respond appropriately, but you're the hottest player in footy at the moment. What's going on, Maxi? How have you got to this point? Is this a reflection on you or your team?
I suppose there'd be a few Western Bulldogs players as well that would be quite hot in terms of individual acts, but also team efforts. And Sydney and Port Adelaide are playing some good footy as well. So there's players amongst the competition that when you're in that top echelon, I've learned that word, echelon. I said echelon last time.
Very funny it was.
I now know it's echelon, apparently. So, I mean, there's Christian Petracca and Clayton Oliver from our team, and then there's Josh Dunkley and Adam Treloar and Jackson McRae and Marcus Bontempelli, and then the Port Adelaide guys that are going well, and Charlie Dixon and Lear. So I suppose that comes with winning form and teams that are playing well.
Have you ever had so much of the footy, though? I mean, you're not just getting tap outs and taking marks and causing havoc for opposition teams in the back half. I mean, you're getting possession numbers that I can't recall you ever getting. Is that because you're more mobile, because of the way you're moving the footy, or am I just overreading this?
I am getting a little bit more than what I normally would, I'd say. I've broken 30 once, so I'll see if I can get there again in some.
How many did you get that day? I'm interested. I know the answer to this. Can you remember who it was against and what it was?
I think I might have had 32 against B. Grundy, didn't I?
34. Yeah, jeez. 34. 21 and 13. Oh, round boy. 12, 2019. So that was Queen's birthday. Big game.
That was a big game. I do remember that. We lost, though, which was unfortunate.
Yeah. So you had 26. Maybe. Sorry, Max, you had 26 on Sunday, which is your equal second most.
Yeah, I had a feeling I might have had 26 before, but I normally am in that 15 to 20 mark, and that's where I tend to have most of my involvement, marking a few down back and trying to mark a few up forward. But I was able to get involved in some clearances and some chains as well. So the main part about my game that I value is helping out in the air, both forward, back and around the ground, if that's ruck work or marking. That's the main thing that I put in my game, and the other stuff is just another bonus if I can get involved.
Well, you're averaging 7 marks a game this year as well. So you are impacting, and you're kicking big long goals too, Maxi. I saw the little sneaky grin you gave when you kicked that long one.
I've got no idea from inside 30 at the moment. I had a really, really good pre-season with goal kicking. I'd sort of cut it back and just focused on my routine. I wasn't having too many shots like I was in the last few years, and I hadn't hooked one. And then come season, I've hooked about 3 so far, so I've got to. Maybe it might be people watching. I might have to get a few people watching me at training.
You might need to, just to give you that experience. Tell us about the game on the weekend, because the Hawks came out firing a bit, and at halftime, it's basically even Stevens. You're down by 2 points. What was the message at halftime? Because you were going to that game as raging favourites. We know the Hawks are always a little bit more difficult to play against than perhaps some teams, but I mean, you should have won that game. You ended up winning it by 50 points. What did Simon Goodwin say at halftime?
Yeah, the Hawks, we knew that was going to be a good game. They came close to Geelong. They went to Freo and came close to them. So they've had some a reasonably tough draw and some good form to be 1-3. And the first quarter and second quarter, Hawks just probably outplayed us a little bit, and we were a bit messy in front of goal when our inside 50 connection probably wasn't there. And they were beating us out of the centre as well. So that's something we sort of focused on at half time. But we knew that we'd had enough ball and enough stuff go our way to be probably in front in that game. So we just said we'll keep going at it and don't really change too much. We'll just try and be a little bit cleaner around the ball. And Hawks came out and did probably better than us in the third quarter as well. They weren't playing their normal way. They're normally a high possession team and a high uncontested mark team, or they had been in the first 5 weeks. So that gave us a bit of positivity around the fact that we're making them play a different way as well. But then that fourth quarter, we're able to sort of release the shackles and play some good footy.
We're five games in now and you're five wins, so you're going really well. Can you sort of put a couple of examples of why it feels different? You've spoken a lot about the team maturing, and Simon Goodwin has as well, but even just out there playing, what feels different?
Just responding to challenges. There's so many challenges and so many momentum switches within a game that to be able to respond to them quickly and the way we want is something that's probably been quite prevalent in the first 5 weeks. There's obviously a long way to go, and we've got some big games coming up. But to every game, we've been challenged. And, for example, the Hawthorn one, they kicked a goal in the first 10 seconds of the fourth quarter, which seems to be a trend of us. We don't like kicking the first in the fourth quarter, but then to be able to come back and kick 7 or 8 goals from then on. Again, I don't like using the word maturity too much, but it does show a sign of maturity, and it also shows a sign of respect to the game plan, respect to and trust to the rest of the playing group.
The obvious comparisons are going to start to be made now about the team that got through to the preliminary final a couple of years ago. And I know Nathan was asked about it yesterday as well. Do you see comparisons between those, or is this a different feel this time around? What are you sort of sensing?
It's probably different in terms of the way we're both winning games and how the season's sort of folding out. I think 2018, we just had a really, really well-timed run with a young group and capitalised on a bit of momentum that lasted about 6 or 7 weeks at the end of the season and the first two finals. And I think I'd heard Nathan say this, but I think we got smashed by Hawthorn in the middle of the year. I think we got smashed by Richmond at some point in the middle of the year. So we were still losing quite heavily in 2018, and we just timed our run really well. Where this year, it does seem to be we're able to respond during games that we potentially might have lost in that season. So, albeit it's a small sample size, it's only five weeks, and we've got an incredibly big challenge over the next 2 or 3 weeks. But it does feel slightly different and slightly more older and mature group. Most of the guys that played in that team are still in this team now as well.
What's it like? So it's happened against the Giants and then again on the weekend, where you get on a roll in that last quarter and you nail it. I mean, it was breathtaking football that last 20 minutes or so on Sunday. You're almost like the conductor of the orchestra. You're leading it all off. You're the captain. You're out there. You're starting it off in the centre bouts, just watching it all unfold. The fans in the MCC members all getting involved. What's that feeling like at the moment?
I still don't think the Melbourne fans can really be happy until red time and we're 8 goals up. They get a bit nervous, which is probably fair enough of our track record. But it's been good, especially the game on the weekend. It felt like we had a lot of chances to be able to put a score on the scoreboard, and we were either obviously missing set shots like myself and Cozzy Pickett and Christian Petracca missed a few shots, and then some inside 50 connection stuff with Tom McDonald was running into an open goal and decided to switch it across goal. And there was a lot of stuff to be able to get us a lead or a score on the board. So the most pleasing thing was just able to turn in the last quarter. And Jake Melsham kicked 2 straight. I think Mitch Brown kicked 2 straight. I was able to go back and kick one. I think Christian Petracca kicked one. Cozzy Pickett kicked one. So the guys who were missing earlier on in the game were able to kick them, and that's the pleasing thing with definitely the Hawthorn game. The GWS game was a it was an interesting one. They completely ran out of soldiers. I think they had three on the bench, and we actually felt like we were running over the top and just running a little bit better than them in that last quarter.
Can I ask you about this forward half game that's seemingly has evolved for the D's? There was a graphic table in the paper yesterday which highlighted some of the developments where you've gone from 13th to 1st and 18th to 1st and 14th to 6th and all sort of stuff. Time in forward half, forward 50 re-entries, forward half pressure, that sort of stuff. Clearly, it's a change in directive and plan or ability to bring it out and play it out. But how do you train that stuff, Max? Is it just get everyone in the one half of the ground and just get the other team, whoever it is, any given time, just to try and get it out? Is that how you train that stuff?
Yeah, the one key thing, there's been a massive factor in the fact we're training out in Casey Fields. It's a really big oval. It's the size of the MCG, and we've been training on Gosh's for 10 years now, which is the smallest oval I've ever trained on.
Yeah,
And it's quite easy to defend at training, the Gosh's paddock oval. So to be able to come out in a big oval, there's just a little plug for Casey. But it's something that hasn't just happened overnight. We've been trying to build a team defence and a forward half game for the last 3 or 4 years. And I think the main thing that you need is trust. You need to be able to trust Jake Lever, Stephen May, Harry Petty, Adam Tomlinson down back. And you need to be able to trust Alex Neil-Bull and Charlie Spargo and Cozzy Pickett to put on some pressure up forward, and then the midfielders to plug the holes. And also, we'd have been a high inside 50 team in recent years, but haven't been able to convert. So you can play forward half footy, but if your inside 50 connection's not great and you're not kicking goals, doesn't really matter anyway.
And that's great for your fans and listeners to hear that the spatial awareness of what's happening around you in those situations is really good, is really important, and need to be familiar with that. Because if you're defending a really small area like you are at Gosh's, you think you might be doing okay, but you get to the MCG or you get to Optus Stadium in Perth or the Gabba, big wide expanses, and teams all of a sudden are getting past you and you're going, hang on, what the bloody hell's going on here? But you don't understand the space because you're not training on it week in, week out. I reckon that's a great insight. And that's, you reckon, one of the key reasons?
Yeah, definitely. I love training down here. Sometimes you get some bad weather, but apart from that, the oval's massive, and it really has given us some good training for games on the MCG. We've been a poor MCG team the last 2 years. I mean, we've been a poor everywhere team in 2019, but our MCG footy had really depreciated. So to be able to get out here and just feel the right spacing, the right surroundings, and like I said, that trust that everyone's in their right position, so you can stand in front of your player. That's one of the more nervous positions you can be in, is standing in front of your player,
yep.
Especially when there's a bit of momentum on the ball. So it hasn't happened overnight, and we're going to get tested. The easiest months to play footy half is March and April. And April, everyone's still quite fresh and still quite happy, so it's going to get tough, and there's no tougher this week against the reigning premiers in a blockbuster game, which they play really good footy in all their blockbusters. And then we've got Sydney, we've got a trip down to Tassie, so it's a big few weeks for us.
Now, it's perfect leading to ask you about the big game with Richmond. I mean, you obviously play Queen's Birthday Monday, but this is almost as big as it gets for you. And, you know, you're near the top of the table, undefeated against the premiers. This is big.
Yeah, the Queen's Birthday game has a lot of history around it. It was our only blockbuster for a long time. And I remember when I first got drafted, there was a big song and dance around Queen's Birthday. It was the biggest day of our calendar year, and we were a team that didn't play finals too much early on, so it was a massive game for us. But the Anzac Eve game has come up to it pretty quickly. We definitely get probably a bit more of a crowd with the night game and the Anzac theme. And it's great to play in the Anzac Day game, just purely to be able to join in and be in the spirit of the Anzacs. And against Richmond, who have probably been the best blockbuster side for us 4 or 5 years. They seem to play in blockbusters every single time they play, and it's going to be a really exciting game. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great to find out where we sit against the reigning premiers.
Do you think you know where you sit, or do you need to play the game? Because you've been playing some really good footy against teams that have been around you over the last couple of years. It doesn't get any bigger than having to take on the premiers, but do you feel you're ready?
I think win or loss, I think we review this game pretty intensely afterwards. So If we lose to Richmond, I reckon we're going to get some great learnings that'll help us go throughout the year. If we win against Richmond, which I'm hoping we do, we're still going to get some great learnings to go on through the year. I don't need any validation on where I think our team's at, but it is good going up against a reigning Premier this early in the season.
And what might it look like this week for Nathan Jones? Of course, 300 games off the SMS. Sam and S. Kilo wants to know, Maxi, from our listeners that get involved in RSN927 on the socials, what does he mean to the footy club? Only the second player in your football club to get to 300 games, which we've found quite astonishing, I must admit. But what does he mean, Nathan Jones?
Yeah, just to thank him massively. We're going to make him tag Dusty, which is exciting for him. Hopefully he can do it. No. Yeah, he is only the second player, which is quite astonishing. You're right, and there's not many people that close to it either. I think Uze, Steins, and Robbie Flower are the next three, and I think Steins is 260 games, sitting at fifth. So we haven't been a high games club, but Nita at 306, which I'm presuming Chunk will want at some point as well. he's forever my skipper, Chunky. What he's done for me in terms of growing me up from a kid to an adult as soon as I got to the club and developing me as a leader, and the way he can articulate any sort of situation either on or off field. I hope he doesn't leave footy post this, because he's a smart footy brain and bleeds red and blue as well. So I might get emotional at times being out there with him in his 300th, but I'm excited to play it. But it's important we don't get carried away with the emotion of Jonesy's 300, because there's a game to be won. There's a game against the reigning Premiers that we're really excited to play. And yes, it's Jonesy's 300. It's also Dusty's 250th, which he's got there bloody quick, I must add. He's in my draft, and he's beating me by 110 games, which is phenomenal.
Is he really?
I had a few injuries there early half, and I wasn't exactly a walk-up start like he was in the first 5 years.
You've always been a walk-up start in my eyes, Max. You don't worry about that. Just poor selection right. Integrity to these at the time, that's all.
Correct.
Just on that, though, those two themes with Anzac Day Eve and the Tigers and Jonesy's 300th, how do you treat this game? Because I heard Dermot talking the other day about grand finals. Now, this is not a grand final, but that everyone would say, oh, it's just another game, and he would say, rubbish, it's not another game. Everything's on the line. Is this another game, or is it, as you said before, you mentioned the chance to play the reigning Premiers at the MCG on a huge occasion? Do you treat it differently in the build-up with all the things that are happening this week?
In the big picture, it is just another game, but there is some small things that you can take from it. And Richmond playing these games every week, but we play Sunday 3:20 a lot in front of 30,000, 40,000 daytime footy. To be able to play a night game with over 70,000 with some added incentives, including milestone games and whatnot, it sort of simulates a final a little bit. So to be able to be a young group, a young up-and-coming group, to be able to play in a big game like this certainly will help us with experience. And we certainly only get sort of 70, 80,000 once or twice a year, and it's our two blockbuster games. So we got to sort of take it all in, and we get to play on a Saturday night. I'm not sure if it's our own time slot, but it's a broadcast game, so it certainly is all eyes on the Melbourne-Richmond game, which is something that we're probably not used to.
Well, it's going to be a great night. Tom and Bowen Heads, just moving off that for a second, has sent a message in. What's Mark Williams' role? He's getting a lot of coverage at the moment. How much interaction does he have with the players, asks Tom?
The head of development is pretty much the most hands-on player-coach relationship you can get. My head of development in the last 10 years have always been the closest coach that I've been to, and that's Choco. So he's really hands-on. He controls the first half of training with his kicking drills, and he's a kicking expert. He's brought his own footies. He's got his own footy that he's trying to get a buck out of as well, I think. he just lives and breathes footy. He just loves footy, and he loves developing players, and I've been really happy to be working with him. He's a boomer. He's come in with some interesting views, and I find him similar to Brendan McCartney and Neil Craig, these sort of guys that have been in footy for ages, but he also cares a lot about his players. So I think he blends really well with Goody and Ooze and Greg Stafford and Troy Chaplin.
How are you going to fit all these forwards in?
Yes.
You've got Bailey Fritsch to bring back. You've got Ben Brown and Sam Wiedemann doing really well in the VFL. I know you're a massive Sam Wiedemann fan. I don't know whether they can all fit or how you bring them back. What do you think might happen? I know it's only Tuesday, but are they ready now or what are you going to do?
My favourite part of this question is when it gets asked to Goody and someone asks, will Tom McDonald go back? And he says no before the question even comes out. It makes me smile. His backline days are over, Tommy. The good thing about Tom is he can probably play a little bit higher as well if they do want to try these three tools at some point. But Bailey's the one that is probably first on that list to come back in. First, I got to get rid of a player, and I think Mitch Brown played a really good game as well. So I'd presume Bailey would come in for someone, and I don't think it's going to be Jonesy because that would be a very interesting storyline if that didn't come out after we've been putting him in the media all week. But no, it's definitely a good problem to have. They're both playing really good footy. They've both trained really well, Weeds and Brownie, that is. And it's quite funny, they've been literally on the same program for 8 weeks. So they're almost best friends now as well. And one fun fact, one is completely eating meat and the other one doesn't eat meat, is a vegan.
Which one's which?
Weeds is on an all-meat diet and Ben Brown is a vegan. So right. It's showing me, because they're both doing very similar things and running very similar, that it doesn't matter what you eat.
So you can have avocado in the Jaffa.
Correct. Correct, you can.
I've been telling you for ages, mate.
I could argue that it does matter what you eat, with my experiences.
There's an element of movement and activity that's required to get ripped and lean, like they tell us. Hey, Maxie, you're lean and ripped at the moment. You are moving beautifully, and I can't wait to see how you go Saturday night. I'll be there watching it against Richmond Anzac Day Eve. It's going to be a huge crowd, a huge occasion, and we look forward to seeing the huge man that you are doing great things. Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, gents.